It caught me by surprise, left me wondering if, in my own stereotypical haste, I had misjudged the young mad scientist. But then I had it. She was not giving in to his machismo. She was retreating before his expertise. Holly was, after all, the genius.
"Well," she said after she had calmed a bit, "I don't want to talk about this any more today. I need a little time to get my feet back on the ground. And I shall certainly dream about this tonight."
The last came with a tiny self-deprecating smile, a gesture which made the sculptured lines of her mouth seem even more delicate and frail than before. It was especially endearing, even for her. Holly and I agreed, with matching smiles of relief. We all went through the straightening and adjusting needed after too long at the table. We stretched, yawned, grinned. At the door, I turned to shake hands with Holly and found that I was doing it with a man I had not yet met. It was a man who seemed to me to be, at that time, the very best of Holly Ware. His grip was firm, his eyes bright. He looked more confident than I had ever before seen him. And more, he looked excited, hopeful, eagerly intrigued. Laia, despite her own buoyancy having apparently returned, seemed a faded shadow before the warmth of his creative glow. The image of those two at that moment struck something in me. It stayed with me, hanging before me, as I went through the seal and down the passage to my own suite. I couldn't stop thinking about the way her face had looked, set with gentle firmness, eyes lifted to him, half turned to him, half eclipsed as his moon. And I couldn't stop thinking about something else, that there was little wonder that such women preferred the Hollies to me. The only time I ever looked that alive, I was probably killing. Damn. The lounge was dark. There was no sign of Cortez anywhere. I thought for a moment that I had stumbled into the wrong suite. Then I saw the light filtering through underneath the door to my bedroom, and I froze stock still in my tracks. I could feel her.